Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our message for Sunday, the 21st of February, 2021. And the message today has been provided by Paul. And his first reading is Genesis 9, verses 8 to 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you, and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those who came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you, and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth." Noah's story tells of a flood lasting 40 days and 40 nights, 40 days on the water with nowhere to land, no respite from the noise and overcrowding of the ark, no visible signs of hope, 40, I suspect, sleepless nights, with only the memory of God's promises to give them rest, God's promise to keep them safe, to protect them in the midst of global devastation. It's a story from long ago. It was already a very ancient tale when Jesus went to meet his relative John and benefit from his ministry of baptism. These kinds of stories are timeless. They tell a truth that doesn't change. I wonder, as Jesus pondered this story, as he fasted and wrestled for 40 days and 40 nights of hunger, temptation, agonizing 40 nights of danger from wild beasts, danger from his own temptations, wondering what lay ahead, 40 days to hold on to the sign and promise of which he was so vividly aware at his baptism, and to wonder perhaps whether he'd imagined it all. For most of it, the past year or so has felt like a wilderness. For some, there has been fear and isolation of needing to hide away from an invisible enemy. For others, bereavement and witnessing the horror of not seeing loved ones. Even the comfort of funerals totally changed as few people are able to mix. For others, the essential things of life can continue at risk to ourselves and others. Jobs disappear or are put on hold. I invite you now to close your eyes and imagine the River Jordan, with John the Baptist stood in the water baptizing people. What can they see? What can they hear or smell? What does it feel like to be there? Is it exciting or is it worrying? At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." I invite you to imagine a wild and desolate place, hot and desert-like. What does it feel to be there amongst the wild animals? At once the spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Thanks be to God for his word. Hello, who are you? I wonder how you'd reply. I guess it depends on who is asking. But in general, what would you say? Or what if you were asked, what do you do? Or where do you come from? Do you find these questions easy to answer or not? More importantly, do our answers to those questions define us? Aren't we much more than just what we do or where we came from? So who are you? Not what's your name, but what makes you the wonderful, unique person that you are? And do you realise how special you are? In the Gospel reading today, we heard how Jesus truly realised who he was. Jesus is baptised by John, just like the others who came to John at the River Jordan. But as he comes up out of the water, Jesus hears a voice, God's voice, saying to him, "You are my beloved Son." Jesus immediately goes into the wilderness, sent there by the Spirit. We sometimes focus very quickly on the three temptations. Mark doesn't even mention them in detail. He says only that he was tempted while he spent 40 days among the wild animals, and angels waited on him. In the Bible, angels are a way of talking about the presence of God. God was with him. And what's truly amazing is that God loves us all like that. We too are God's beloved and valued sons and daughters. And when we're in the wilderness, whatever that means and whatever that feels like in our lives, God is with us. Emmanuel. As we begin this year's Lent, think about what it means to be God's loved child. We are encouraged to do without or fast at Lent and take time to for growing or deepening our discipleship. Does that ring hollow to you? Do you feel like you've spent enough time in the wilderness and you could do with an oasis or two now? If so, you're not alone. Imagine how Jesus felt about his time in the wilderness. There are two Greek words for time. One is chronos, from which we get chronological, measurable in minutes, hours, days. The other is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. And Jesus used this word for a time is fulfilled. It's less to do with time progressing and more to do with the moment in time, the right time to do something, the opportune moment, the due date. The key is that this is the right time, God's time. The same could be said of the moment at which he came out of the waters of baptism and experienced the Spirit coming upon him. And this was accompanied by a declaration of his relationship with God and God's love of him. That experience may have lasted a split second, or it may have lasted an hour. Well, that does not really the point. It is a moment forever lifted out of the chronos time to sustain him in the wilderness throughout his ministry, and even at the point of death. Perhaps it was similar with Noah when he saw the dove return with the olive leaf, when he saw the rainbow. All of these are kairos moments. Whatever our personal wilderness, we are invited to encounter and remember those moments. Perhaps you can think of them in your life. Can you speak of them? Perhaps to support others in this wilderness, that is our testimony, that we follow a God who gives us moments of encounter, glimpses of glory, which are strong enough to sustain us when we're alone. Because with God, we're never alone. This isn't just about our personal means of support. Jesus emerging from the desert despite hostility and duress speak of God's time. Jesus speaks of the coming of the kingdom, a time of repentance, a time for faith, a time for good news. And further on, he invites others on this journey with him. So these next 40 days of time, Jesus invites us to be transformed so that we can transform our world. So during Lent, make the most of the time offered. In your wilderness, hold on to those moments that God gives you a breakthrough. It's not always easy. It involves self-examination, humility, repentance, and change. But it's worth it. Amen. May the Lord bless you all.